The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life was old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like the breeze. Country road, take me home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home.
Welcome to My Story of America Radio here on the Crusade Channel on the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. I am your host, Dr. Michael T. George, and it is my honor to be with you here today. We have an absolutely spectacular show prepared for you today. You know, it is such a pleasure to really be able to meet so many wonderful people as I travel around the country. Next week's show is going to be a great show about a trip I went through the flood-savaged regions of West Virginia. You've seen the pictures. You've heard the devastation that's taken place. Well, next week you're going to find out more about not only what happened, but what you can do to help. But today, you cannot help but pick up anywhere you go and find something written about terrorism. And it all seems to point back to one significant, I don't know, a piece of the puzzle. If somebody is going to look, if they're going to review, if they're going to see what's the pattern, what hooks everything together, what do all of these terrorist activities or terrorist incidents have in common? Well, it seems to be really, really easy to pinpoint. It's Islam. And I like to, with My Story of America Radio and with the books I write, you know, with My Story of America, we did interviews with people. And now the new book, Author of Liberty, which launches today. That's right, today, Author of Liberty. You can get it now at Amazon, hardback, paperback, or hardback, e-edition. So if you have it for your Kindle, but you can go to secureyourliberty.com. But even in that book, we have a story right out of Afghanistan, right about what happened under the Taliban, Islamic terrorism. But today, we're going to get the opportunity, and this is what I like, and this is where I was getting to. What I like is to let people tell their stories, people that have lived it, people that have experienced it. You know, I can get here and talk about all kinds of things and pretend that I'm some kind of resident expert. You know, we see that all the time on CNN, MSNBC, all those places. I much prefer to have the people that have experienced these events to share for them themselves. Because in that way, you get true living history. These are the people that lived it. These are the people that went through it. They experienced it. So they can give you firsthand eyewitness accountability. And so today, our story will begin in the Middle East and end up in America as we interview Kamal Saleem, a former Islamic terrorist, here on My Story of America Radio.
Thank you.
What you have just heard, the explosions in the background, were actually live recordings from three airliners that were blown up in the 1970s by a group known as the Black September. I believe that was what it was. And this time period, the early 70s, will fall right in with our guest today. So I want to welcome in on the Dude Maker Hotline, the Guest of Honor Hotline here on My Story of America Radio, Kamal Saleem. Kamal, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, to God be the glory. I'm very thankful to be with you, and I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you for having me, Michael.
It is truly my honor. And you know what? I want to thank, firstly, you know, we both have a couple of mutual friends. You know, Gary Tereshita, who's probably one of the best people I've ever met, and as well as General Jerry Boykin. Both of those are two great guys. And through them is how, you know, we've come to know each other. And I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time with you in the future as well, my friend.
Amen. Well, I wrote a book with both of them. You know, Gary wrote my book. And with General Jerry, so thank you so much for mentioning that.
Absolutely, and we will hit about a couple of your books today as we get in. Let's go ahead and start. I know, you know, we've got a busy schedule here. So in this first segment that we're going to do, you know, I really want to just let folks hear, you know, how does a guy, you know, when they hear your voice right now, they're thinking, wait a minute, how can this guy, you know, this is not what I picture in my mind as somebody that was, you know, a former terrorist. You know, how does a person start off, a young boy, how do you start off, where does it all begin? So let's just take them down your life.
Well, this is amazing. It's very important to understand in any kind of war, the most crucial element of successfully defeating the enemy is the ability to recognize him, his nature, his weapons, and his strength. And therefore, when we go into this, it goes into the psychology of Islam and the Muslims. Now, the Quran, the Muslim holy book, says, let the believers, which is me and the Muslim, take not the infidel as a friend or allies instead of believers, which is the Muslims. Whoever does this shall have no relationship with Allah. So Allah will completely ostracize him. Unless that you guard yourself against them, you know, and taking safeguard in jihad, which is go into holy war with your enemy. So therefore, this is how it pleases Allah. You know, and in the Quran, this is Quran 3:28. But when we read in the Quran also in 22 and 39 and through 40, it says, Allah, you know, gave, he said, I have given you permission to fight. It's granted to those who, you know, whom you war against, because they have been wronged, and God indeed has the power to help you against them. They are those who have been driven out of their homes unjustly, only because they affirmed Allah is God. So therefore, what happened is when we see, you know, refugees coming to the United States of America, they have justification to launch holy jihad against America, because all this that's happening over there is because of United States and Zionism, you know, Israel. Muslims saw this verse as a declaration of war on them. I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to a Muslim Sunni family. We were not rich. At that time, I didn't understand what rich is, because we're 14 brothers and sisters living in one three-room house, living room, bedroom, and a kitchen. And this is how my life started. You got to understand that when you're born as a Muslim, you're automatically Muslim, so you could not be anything else. Muhammad says, whoever converts from Islam, kill him. It's a commandment. So therefore, what happened is, you know, it's unlike the Christians. You could not be a Christian, even if you're born to a Christian family, unless you are born again. You know, my mother was my teacher. I went to madrasa in my home. Among my brothers and my sisters, we have one class for the boys, one class for the girls. The girls is to be submissive, to know how to work, how to get pregnant, how to clean, how to really be a servant to her husband. She is not his equal. A woman must be owned by her husband, by her father, by her uncle, by her brother, by her son. She must be owned by a man. male figure. And so therefore, the boys, the Quran says, الرجال قوامون على النساء, which is men are in charge of women. Women belong to the men. And so therefore, the teaching from there, my mom said, you know, she was teaching me to recite the Quran, and I recited the Quran three times before I was 12 years old, trying to learn the Quran by heart and to learn the value of the Quran. What does it does, and how does it subjugate the world to its message? And so therefore, from this understanding, my mother said, you know, I was pure, you know, and unlike my brother, there were many of them who were devious in a way. I believed everything. I was pure at heart. And she said to me, one day you will die for the sake of Allah, and you will bring honor to your family, and you will, the host of heaven will celebrate your martyrism when you die for his sake. So my mother was implementing, threading into me, you know, all this. My mother taught me from the hadith, the traditions of Muhammad. She said, when a Muslim kill a Jew or a Christian, his hand will light up before the throne of heaven, Allah, because he killed an enemy, and that is his Allah's hard desire to do so. So therefore, heaven celebrate your killing. And so from there, she was inducing into me all the theology, the milk, the child will grow up to be the man that Allah called him to be. So she was putting my destiny in me. And from that childhood, she taught me right up front, as she said to me, the Quran, as you read the Quran, it says, the Quran says, which is the Muslim book, says, وَكُلُّ مِنْكُمْ وَارِدُهَا. All Muslims will have to go to hell. Nobody will escape hell. You know, Allah will have to judge every Muslim, and after they purify in hell, Allah will replace them by Christian or by Jew, and he will put them between heaven and hell to rekindle. And the Islamic heaven and hell are next to each other. And so therefore, he will rekindle, and then he will introduce him to heaven. So, but the Quran read on. There was an exception in the Quran that came later on. It says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءً عَنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْزَقُونَ. Those who died in martyrdom for the sake of Allah, offering their life, their blood, as a sacrifice for him, they are alive and prospering. And when we go to this, we got to understand that Islam is a Sharia law. It goes in a trilogy, so therefore it has to point to advance either Allah backing up Muhammad or either Muhammad backing up Allah. And then you have the life of Muhammad, which is Sirah, his biography, which is pointed to the two elements. You know, so this is how the Muslim constitution is made, out of those three elements. The smallest element is what Allah said. It's only 14% religion. The rest of it is all political Islam, jihad, and how to subjugate the world to Islam. So therefore, what happened is, when you look at all this and you start reading this, the hadith said, you know, when you die for the sake of Allah, the first drop of your blood, you will forgive 70 of your immediate family, all of them will go to heaven without judgment. Your mom, your dad, your grands, your brothers, sisters. So it is very important, you know, that the family offer a sacrifice, you know, a blood sacrifice from the family, you know, for the forgiveness of the family sin. In a way, it will become, you know, the lamb that was slaughtered for them, in a way. And by so, they will go to paradise without judgment. The second drop of their blood, what happened is, Allah, Muhammad says, Allah will give you 72 virgin women. And with every woman will give you 72 virgin women, their harems. And these are half women and half angels. We call them hur or huriyin. You know, and they are female. These are virgins, are made specifically for man. Because paradise, heaven, is made for man and not for women. If a man make it to heaven, then his wife will make it to heaven. If he does not, his wife stays in hell with him. So therefore, what happened is the price and the acceleration, the celebration, all of it goes to the man. So what happened, God will give you 100 horsepower to celebrate these women, and you have food, rivers of alcohol, you know, flying food, different things, flying beds, all of it in paradise of the Muslims. So the Muslim one they celebrate over there. It is about everything that is forbidden on earth, it's available in heaven. So now what happened is my mother prepared me for all this. And in my preparation, my dad took me to out of school when I was 7 years old. And in that preparation, what happened is he didn't think that I was smart enough. He told me, "I wish you were a girl. I would have given you away," you know. And I remember at that time, I had no clue what was wrong with me, but I believed my dad. And the thing is that I was not brilliant, or you know, I did not have the Islamic hustle, you know, how to really finagle through this and make your way through. So therefore, you are not strong enough. And he wished me to be a girl because what happened is if you are a girl, they can give you away in marriage, even to a 60-year-old man. Why? Because when Muhammad married his one of his wives, she was 6 years old when he married her. And she, and this is was acceptable and still acceptable in Islam until this day, and that is in Sharia law. So dad wished that I would to get rid of me, but he can't. So now I start working at 7 years old, and I was lost in the sea of the world, and I have no clue what mankind is like, and it was evil world. So I had no understanding, but now I became a milking cow. It doesn't matter what I do as long as I bring the funds home, which is collected every week from me. And from there, you know, I was challenged daily, you know, as I was going to work. I was going, you know, and sometimes I was beaten severely by different gangs, you know, because each territory has, gangs to control it, whether they're Armenian, whether they're Kurd, whether they're Shia, whether they're Sunnis. There is a different, you know, territory. And I have to cross everything because on foot because I don't have the fund to climb on the bus. So I have to walk every day, you know, because otherwise if I use the bus, my salary will be gone. It was, you know, less than $1 a week. And so if I use the bus system, it'll be all gone, and that's not acceptable to my family. So, one day I was beaten severely. And in that day, what happened is I took safe haven in the mosque. You see, the mosque is not like the church. The mosque are totally different than a church. The mosque is where the recruitment takes place when they take moderate Muslim and convert them to radicals. A mosque is an embassy that answers and represents the Islamic State. It does not answer to the country that belongs to, whether French, English, American, whatsoever, because their order is to the Islamic State and loyalty. Even if they have the American citizenship or whatever, they cannot obey the culture. So they have to only to obey Allah, or Allah will not please with them, as I read from the Quran earlier. So therefore what happened is when I went in there, a group of men, a cell of men that came and stood for me, all of them were imams. And they were part of a movement called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement Brotherhood came 4 years after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, when the English, the Russian, and the French, with the help, in Europe, fought against, the Ottoman Empire, in World War I, and they fought against, all those, German and whatsoever, and defeated them. They moved into the Middle East, and then they start chopping those nations down, including which is what we hear many times. It's called ISIA, ISIL, which is you hear about the Levant. And what is the Levant, which is different from the Islamic State, and this is was invented by our current administration, and the Levant is specifically to focus on that Israel does not exist, because prior to the Levant, it was prior to 1948. It did not exist, so they call for the Levant instead of Islamic State. And so what happened is 4 years later, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire in 1928, came the Muslim Brotherhood, and their job is to reestablish the caliphate, which is the Muhammad lordship, you know, and leadership. And he will sit on the Islamic State, the head of the Islamic State, and then from there also to establish a Sharia law in every nation and tongue, as we see it now, it's trying to be established in Europe and has been established in several European states. And now they're trying to establish it under this current administration. And so therefore, you know, it is the administration that speak to the Muslim and it will divide the culture in two. And when the culture is split into two, there will be a clash of a culture because everyone has the right to exercise his way. They have their constitution and we have our constitution, and therefore it will cause a clash of culture. And when we see all this is administrated on, you know, in time and purpose. As a Muslim work, they work from generation to generation. They don't do like American, you know, people like building the highway in less than 6-7 months, or building, you know, skyscrapers in no time, less than a year. The Muslim work from generation to generation, they hand it over. And this is the things that the Western civilization has missed, that how the Muslim infiltrated and rooted themselves and built it precept upon precept, you know, to become a knowledge and power. So therefore what happened is, from there, this Muslim Brotherhood, they took me in, and now I start being indoctrinated. And the indoctrination is the philosophy of Islam, is the hegemony of and a dogma of the Islamic theology. The majority of Islam is political Islam. Islam is a political system. It's a governing system. It could not be equal to anything. It have to arise over everything and take over. And there is a different methodology how to challenge the culture, and by, you know, engaging that culture and shifting it, you know, causing a shift to take the power overnight, where the culture will lose its power, and now the Muslim are in power. And so when we look at all this, the teaching of the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, was very strong in the mosque, and we were learning political Islam and what's our purpose and what's our gifting. As my family dropped me out, the Muslim Brotherhood adopted me, and now I have a family. It's called the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is the most radical organization today. From it, all terrorist groups, the majority, 99% of the terrorist group came from it, including ISIS, including Al-Qaeda, including Al-Shabaab, including Al-Hujra, Al-Nusra, you know, Al-Muhajirun, Al-Furqa, all of them, you know, came birthed out of the Muslim Brotherhood, because it is the root of all evil. And when we say the Muslim Brotherhood, who are they in the United States of America today? They're referred to as CARE, for example, Council American Islamic Relation, or Islamic Society of North America, or North American Society, or, you know, and they have multitude, they have over 160 organizations with different names up front, and some of them are like Red Cross and whatsoever. They are peaceful and whatsoever, but all of them is to raise funds for, you know, radicalization of that nation that they are working against. So if they are seeking money and funds in your nation, then this fund will be used against your nation. So therefore, this is what we were learning.
You know, this is really good. We're gonna have to take a break here in just a minute, but you know, there's so much information here, and the fact of the infiltration that's been on, the fact of the Muslim Brotherhood that have infiltrated into our own government, our own administration, that's in key positions of our country today. You know, we have really just been asleep at the wheel, all because we want to not seem hateful, or we want to have this multiculturalism, or we want to be so diverse, or all these things. If you're just joining us, you are listening to My Story of America Radio here on the Crusade Channel, Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to continue with our guest today, Kamal Saleem. Now remember, if you miss any of this segment or any of my previous shows, they are all available for streaming and download at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. You'll need a Founders Pass membership to gain access to those downloads, but it's for as little as 23 cents per day. So just click the Join button at the top of any page. This is the My Story of America radio show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.
Whatever injustice is committed, one must stand against it and resist it.
I don't want to hurt you! Move away! We are hijacking the aeroplane! Fly to loot now!
I'm gonna read the names of the prisoners. You write the names down and arrange the release.
If you cause any problem, I'll blow the plane up. Everybody will die here.
Don't try me.
Sit down and be quiet!
We hijacked this plane to release our brothers in the Israeli jail. If the Israeli government cares about you, they will release them.
If they don't release them?
We will blow up the plane!
אמרתי שאנחנו קודם כל ניתן לנחות ונראה מה לעשות.
היה רצון לגרום קודם כל לכך שהמטוס הזה לא יוכל לעבור.
Control tower! Can you hear me?
I want you to take off now!
There are 100 hostages. There is a 6-year-old girl.